DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with
Ender's Logic.
We call you Muscle Hammer.
Flopsy.
That the system...
Your host, Robert Digital.
Reload. Game changer overused.
And
Smoochie. I'm pretty good at MOBAs.
All right.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. I'm Bobby.
This is Chad.
And Emilio, the super special guy.
All right. That was our new introduction.
It's a game changer.
It is.
It's changing everything. All right. So first thing, before we get started, we got a new Patreon, Darasotra.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Darasotra.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll still fuck your name up, but thank you for subscribing to us.
Well, he's been around in the Discord server for a while, so I think we've already gone through the phase where we messed up his name.
Okay.
So I think we got it right this time.
Cool.
But last week, there were some things we did not get right. Quite a bit.
Yeah. Our last week's errors and shit, which is our second segment, for those who have been listening for a long time, you already know this. It's probably the longest it's ever been. So let's get to it.
I actually have notes from last week, let me bring it up. Keep talking, though.
All right. Well, the first one is we could not figure out how to pronounce a name. We're still not sure. I got a message from Pavel, our Pavel, we don't know, but he says everyone just calls him Paul. So we're going to go with that. He was one of our Patreons, and he also the fourth person that I played PUBG with when I was talking about my story.
Gotcha.
Effing sweet.
What's his actual gamer tag or Discord name?
Snickersnee.
Gotcha. Cool. We mentioned last week about the intro. It's actually Frubs that makes it. He's already hit us up about changing it because last week she had mentioned she didn't like her intro, what she says during the intro. So
yeah, because ours are really funny.
And I was like, do you get to pick your intro one? Like, I didn't pick the one. Obviously, it doesn't paint me in a great light. But I appreciate it. Like, that's funny.
Well, we have three different intros, and the idea was that we were going to run one of them. They're the same intro, but they have the little different sound bites from each of us, and we're going to run one for like a month or two, and then we're going to switch it over. So we still do have a couple different ones, although I don't think she liked any of them, like her soundbite in any of them.
No, the one about her being a black guy is super funny, I think.
I agree. For sure you should.
Well, maybe we'll make that switch sooner than later.
Okay, two more things to bring up. Well, actually, more than two. We had mentioned Mobile Strike. The other one was Game of War. Just a little note on that.
Hey, your advertising dollars are going to waste, fuckers. If we couldn't remember,
yeah, literally. And plus, you're a terrible game, so just die in a fire, please.
Have you seen? Obviously, you've done those mini videos where you can play that game for like 15 seconds.
Yeah,
it's the worst looking.
Well, it's not an actual. That's not actually their game. That's like the best they can do.
It doesn't look like that.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
It better be better than that. No. I did want to call out Emilio. Emilio doesn't know what's coming out of his voice 90% of the time.
Voice box.
But he did decide on two games of the year in one episode. And I wanted to applaud you.
I said runner. Like in the running.
So every week you're going to call out two games of the year?
Yeah, but it's before be that, it's been 5 months before this without anything. So
all right.
Go fuck yourself, first of all.
So you've got PUBG and you've got Prey.
Yeah.
You got to pick one, a game of the year. Which one are you going with so far?
Tune in until fucking November and you'll find out.
So you already don't know what's going on these two?
I'm not going to say. I haven't played Prey enough.
Okay. Valid point. I just thought I wanted to call you out on that. And then the last one was yours about the first-person story-driven.
Oh, yeah. It's called... I didn't make this up, but apparently the guys who actually made this is what they call it. Like, immersive simulation. So, we always call them first-person shooters, maybe a story-driven first-person shooter, like Half-Life or any one of these, Prey... what else?
A third example.
Yeah. I'm waiting for it.
BioShock?
BioShock. Thank you. That's the one I was
I don't like using the word sim, though. Sim,
yeah.
Like speaking on genres for PC games, like that implies
kind of
something
muddies.
Completely different than a first-person shooter to me. Like, but I hear sim, I think Civ, I think...
SimCity.
I got you. I totally got you. But then if you take a numbers game or something that's supposed to be real, but then you make it immersive, which means you're looking at it through the person's eyes, I think it works. It just so happens that Sim has been co-opted by something else.
Yeah.
I think it works, but I ain't make it up.
Okay.
So there cool. it is.
last one, Brian C., we mentioned last week, Brian C. is also a new Patreon member. Thank you again. He is actually Admiral Beef, so if you are on Discord and see Admiral Beef, he will be green tagged like a lot of you, the other guys. So
let me tell you a little story about Admiral Beef. He was down in the pleb section one night playing PUBG, and then we were running threes, and I needed a fourth. I grabbed him, because we can do this as admins, and pulled him into our channel. I said, "You're playing with us." He said, "Okay." And then now he's like full part of the crowd. So basically, if you're not on Discord, you don't know what you're missing. He was just hanging out. He was being a lurker. And now he's a full participating member. And that's cool. How it works.
And I guess one, because we got to bring it up every week. If you want to go to our Discord, go to our website first, dlgamer.net. You'll find all that info there.
Also go to dlgamer.us, which is under the support tag. Save some money on some games and play some new games.
Oh, last thing related
to... Pick up Prey. It's like way cheaper than it should be.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that later. But yeah, you can get a great deal on it at dlgamer.us. Did we talk about the intro, though? Did we mention the person who made the intro? We missed a lot of people's names last week. We talked about that already.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, Frubs. Yeah.
Okay.
Last thing I want to mention about the website is we got our sample shirts in for the new styles. So we took a couple pictures today. We posted a couple up on Discord, but I'm going to have Bobby add some to the website maybe. Do we have a spot maybe to put them in or something like that? So we might actually have it. But what I want to do is if you do get a shirt, if you're a Patreon member or whatever, and want to send us a picture of you in it, We'll try to find a rogues gallery or something to put on our website to put up pictures supporting us. So
the new one in pink is actually super fucking sweet.
It's salmon.
I believe that one's called Berry. Actually,
you're right. My bad.
It's not
the one salmon. In Berry is the bomb. So that's the one you should go
I'm
for.
I'm not even building it up. Like I ordered the charcoal one. And I'm feeling bad that I did. It looks so good.
Yeah, I'm stoked about this one. And then. So the next one up, we're going to do a tank top, right? Sure. I'm already prepping it because I'm super excited about this. So I'm already prepping up ideas for a tank top. So
yeah, first idea should be lose some weight.
Yeah, well,
fat fuck.
I mean, both of us, maybe we should lose some weight. But let's actually get to the games, shall we?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So games coming up. What are we excited for here? Wild West Online. I have no idea what this game is about, but I hear the word online and already I'm like, fuck this game. So what's it about?
Well, so it's a MMO,
really?
The Old West.
And so like Red Dead Redemption?
Exactly how they're promoting themselves.
Okay.
They say this is a MMO, Red Dead Redemption. They're going to start launching their Kickstarter soon. They're looking for $250,000 online. I didn't put this up there because I was excited. I wanted to know what do you guys
see? I'm stoked. Yeah, that sounds cool. I love Red Dead Redemption. I love MMOs, so I don't...
You played Red Dead?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, well.
I didn't play a ton of it, but...
I'm glad that the second one's coming out for PC.
Yeah.
I'm sure I missed something. But like Pirates... Cowboys is just something I don't get. I don't see the appeal. But I think this is kind of like saying...
Is it
Westworld is super popular right now.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, hey...
And it's kind of an untapped...
Many people,
it's an untapped...
it really is.
What,
yeah.
It's not a genre. What do you call it? Setting. It's an untapped setting.
Yeah.
We don't get enough cowboy ones.
Definitely
it's,
not.
It's got what you need. It's got guns. It's got a unique kind of look to it and all. My question is, do you have like a character screen that you can update? Like MMOs, you know, you're putting on shoulder pads and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
What is this going to have? Like new spurs that give you +5 to riding and shit?
I bet horses is going to be huge. For
sure.
And more upgraded horses. But what I do like is, like, you know, this is the very, this is an idea. We're talking about an idea. But in 2 days, 19 hours, 46 minutes, more of the idea is going to be presented, which I think is a nice touch.
Just so they haven't even
out there.
They haven't even started a Kickstarter.
They haven't even started the Kickstarter. It's all like,
and we don't
hey,
know,
we're talking about it.
We don't know who the developer is. 612 Games, is that the developer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they're super popular.
Yeah, and, no, I love
612.
I've loved everything they've done so far.
Hey, what's up, Fix X wife?
Sweet. Yeah, bring your wives in. Let's do this. Let's make it a whole thing.
Let's get weird.
Right. So hey, Rainbow.
My first impression on this game is it's going to be terrible. And here's why. First of all, when you put online in the title of any game, that's not a good sign.
Wait. Let's think of one that's done well.
Final Fantasy Online. No.
Has it done well? Star Trek Online? Didn't do well.
Nope.
AOL Online?
Did tremendous. But I was talking about games. Somebody find a game that has online in the title that did well.
I think Bobby's right. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you're right, Bobby.
Yeah, I think you're doomed just on title alone. I do like the Western setting. I think it works well.
Ultima
video games.
Online. Jen's called this out a good
Boom.
One.
Ultima
Boom.
Online. Okay. When was that?
That was like
literally the first game ever.
96, maybe.
All right. Yeah, I'm saying that was something that's done. Like, everything was online, you know, back in late 90s, early 2000s. That was a cool thing to do, but not anymore. But the Western setting I don't mind in video games so much. One of my favorite games of all time is Call of Juarez.
Gunslinger.
Gunslinger, which is a fantastic
game. Great game. Western if you haven't played game. That one,
yeah.
Go get it cheap from somewhere. I don't know. It's probably like less than $5 now, huh?
Oh, yeah. You get it for like $2.50 or something.
Oh, you got to play that game.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Really? You just gave that one an okay? Maybe because you're a terrible first-person shooter. That's why.
Mm.
But I don't know. You could maybe build an MMO around with the Western theme. I mean, that could work. But I don't know. I think this game's going to come and go, and you know, everyone's going to be more concerned with Red Dead Redemption when that comes out.
You're saying
out.
This is not the next WoW. Is that what you're saying?
Definitely. And who's making an MMO in 2017? I mean,
MMOs really? Are the shit. What, I don't understand.
Don't bring this up.
You have WoW and you have all other MMOs.
That's just so everybody knows where the stance is, because we're not going to solve this today. I think MMOs are dead. Chad thinks that there's still potential.
Like, we just hit the tip of the iceberg. There's still the whole underwater
being
to go.
Facetious,
no,
but
I'm
what's
serious.
What's your real?
That's I really believe that.
Well, once we go to VR, maybe. Like,
I'm just saying, in 20 years, the concept of an MMO will go away because every game will be that way.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you'll
yeah, okay.
They'll take
you know
good
I mean?
Parts of an MMO,
yeah.
Incorporate that into their games, but it won't be.
What do you mean?
Like the MMOs that we've known. I mean, I still think there's just WoW, and then there's all the other clones out there trying to copy it that come and go, and they have their own small communities.
The idea of a persistent character that you can share with the rest of the community, and everybody can see your character and interact with them and do things with them and go on adventures with them and PvP with them, that idea isn't going to go away. That idea is the core. Like, I feel like that's just going to get stronger. But we
probably. I don't know.
I mean, is that not what an MMO
well, why,
is?
Why has the last 13 MMOs not made money?
Well, everybody wants to be WoW. Everybody, that's what Bobby's talking about. It's WoW and WoW clones. And why do a WoW clone when you could just do WoW? And so until they've
tried a lot of different things.
Yeah, until they tried to like diversify, they're going
to
fail.
Diversify. I don't know. All right,
anyways.
That's a topic for another day.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, so Metal Gear Survive.
I know nothing about this, Emilio.
Saw like a 30-minute video.
Wait, 30-minute?
Yeah, but I went like 17 minutes into it.
Okay.
It's all in Japanese.
Okay.
It's coming out from Konami. What?
Yeah, okay.
What's the guy's name?
Solid Snake?
No, the creator. Kojima.
Kojima?
He has come out and specifically said, I had nothing to do with this.
Okay.
Because they own...
Yeah, they own Metal Gear.
Metal Gear, the name, and all that.
He's no longer with them.
So they used all the mechanics. I mean, it's Metal Gear Solid. It's in the name, right? It's a four-player co-op versus zombies. Oh, jeez.
No, you're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Versus zombies, but it's stealth.
Wait. Metal Gear versus zombies?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
And they're missing heads,
I'm done. I'm already out.
Wait a second, dude. No, I watched this video. It's pretty sweet.
I'm out. I'm so out. This is ridiculous.
But nobody has taken. Okay, so four player co-op is always like almost always a mow down hack and slash. This one's like co-op stealth. Has that been done before? I don't think it's been done. And co-op, I don't like stealth games.
Yeah.
But the way they put this together.
Two people that can fuck up the stealth too.
Seriously. You know?
It's, no, that's true.
Yeah.
But also there's other ways to do it. So,
or i.e. the way everybody's going to do it.
What I saw in the video were a few interesting things. The zombies lose their head, kind of like the mushroom people, and they grow a horn. So if you hit that with a slingshot, it kind of stuns them, and then it gives the other person enough time to come up, and there's weak points right in their back, like in their spinal column. So that was one of the things. And the other one was...
But are these humans that have become zombies?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So why wouldn't their weak point just be everywhere?
Because like, obviously the alien attaches itself to the spinal column.
Okay.
Idiot.
I'm so out of this.
I think people are automatically going to hate this game because it's Konami that doesn't involve...
Kojima.
Kojima, yeah.
Well, pretty much the everyday gamer hates Konami at this point, right? Because the...
Well, wait.
Okay.
I went with all of this baggage.
Sell me this.
And then I watched it for a little bit. I was like, this looks like it would be fun. You know those balloons you attach to people and they go up in the sky?
Yep.
So you could do that to a goat.
Okay.
But the balloon doesn't go very high. And then all the zombies come over to eat the goat. And you could use it kind of like a
lure.
A lure, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
That was one of the things.
I'm still out.
All right. Well,
yeah, I don't know enough about the Metal Gear franchise to really be excited for this, but...
Yeah, that was...
Hopes are not high.
Okay, the last one I wanted to bring up, and I brought this up because a ton of... four or five of the people...
One person.
No. Somebody was like, I can't wait for State of Decay 2. And then like three or four people were like, oh yeah, I love State of Decay. And I was like, State of Decay? I don't think I ever played this game. So I watched the trailer. It's projected. It's coming out in 2017. They're going to announce the release date during E3. Have you guys played State of Decay?
I need to see at least a screenshot. I think I have. There's so many zombie games that...
Yeah. No, I played State of Decay. It was a really popular game, especially on the Xbox. And the problem that everybody had with it was that it was single player. And State of Decay 2 is supposed to be multiplayer co-op, right? Yeah, single player.
Co-op with up to three other players.
Is it a simulation?
It is a survival simulation. Yeah. There's like quests where you got to run out, get gasoline, fortify defenses, survive the night, move on to a next location. It was a really good idea and I really enjoyed it, but the whole single player aspect totally drew me away from it. I got bored with it after a couple hours, but I did have some friends who played a lot of that game.
So it sounds like the best move they could have done.
Yeah, I mean, this sounds like a great idea. State of Decay 2 looks like it's going to do everything that everyone wanted for the first one.
So State of Decay 1, did that come out on PC also?
Eventually, yeah. I have it in my Steam library.
Okay.
Yeah, but it way after
Can
it was on Xbox.
Can I see a little bit of it?
Two or one?
The only video I've seen is kind of an announced trailer, which doesn't really have a whole lot of gameplay in it.
I just want to make sure whether or not I've seen it or played it.
I remember you playing this game.
Yeah, I think I played
third person
game.
Over the shoulder, you're running around. I'm pretty sure you did. I think we talked about it on the podcast years ago. Yeah, but it was a solid game. And when it finally came to PC, people were pretty happy about that. This was the game that came to PC, if I'm not mistaken, and they didn't even have keyboard and mouse controls. They only had Xbox controls for it. You remember that? Yeah. Like, they didn't even have that, and they had to patch in the support for the keyboard and mouse later down the line.
Freaking Microsoft Studios. Cool.
Do we have a release date on State of Decay 2? Anyone know?
No, they're going to announce it on E3 this year.
Oh, yeah. That's coming up.
I want to bring something up now that it's... I'm going to forget it later.
You're done.
So the creator's update went live. Did you guys both download it?
If it was automatic,
yeah,
I did.
Okay. Has it changed? Did you start using anything, or has anything changed to your...
The only
knowledge?
Thing that I've actually noticed is there's another option under my sound menu that says spatial sound. I looked it up to see what that was, and apparently that has to do with some sort of VR or AR technology, so I think they're building in support for that stuff later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other than that, no, I haven't noticed any difference.
So after I rebooted, after the updates, it asked me what allowances I want to give Windows 10. Basically...
Oh yeah,
Target advertising. So you did do that.
Yeah, you're right.
I assume that you checked them all off.
Yeah, bad or wrong. I unselected everything I could.
Yeah. All right, just making sure.
Oh, and
so more on that.
Just a little side note on that one. Zap asked me to take a look at Google Opinions Survey, which is an app that will send you surveys and you answer the surveys and you'll get back Google Play dollars from anywhere from like a penny to a dollar each survey.
Yeah, FixX was talking about because he's
and,
cheap fuck.
I refuse to do those ones because they are collecting a ton of data. They'll give you more money based on where your GPS has been because their app is up and running and they're getting as I don't want to be a fucking running just moneymaker for these guys, you know, like.
But they're giving you money.
No, after a couple weeks they
stopped. They did this with Smite. You could earn gems.
I remember that. I did every single one of those damn.
Well, a lot of times you didn't qualify for the survey. A lot of them were like kind of gray market areas. There's a lot of garbage going on there.
No.
Yeah, you could do a lot on there.
Trust me. There's very smart people coming up with these apps, and let me tell you, they're not going to be in your favor. If they're offering you free money, they're getting something on the side that's worth way more than the money they're giving
you. Yeah, sure, but do you have the direct? They're a middleman. You don't have connection to the direct, to the person who's requesting the. What? Oh, guys, he's shaking his head, and that's great for podcasting. I know.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Jesus, what?
I'm just saying, like.
What?
I think we should value our privacy a little bit.
He doesn't want the government in his business. Yeah.
Bobby, where are you on this?
I don't care about a lot of that stuff.
So would you do the...
No, they're a waste of time, in my opinion.
So if they're giving you a dollar for 30 seconds of your time, are you going to do it or not?
30 seconds?
It's not 30 seconds. It's usually at least a minute and a half.
Every time
A whole minute and a half.
Yeah. Every time I've done that kind of stuff, it's been way too much time for the trade-off. Like, it's pretty bad. I don't know.
It's all about how valuable your time... What's that saying that you told me, Bobby? When you're young, you're time rich, but money
you're
poor.
A time millionaire.
And then vice versa.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, that shit is all shady. I don't really care for that. My time is way more valuable than my money these days. All right, moving on. Let's talk about some video games. No real big story this week, but I have been continuing to play Prey and enjoying that. Played a little bit on stream a couple days ago.
Sorry.
Bill has kind of been coaching me through it on the stream. It's funny when you play a game publicly on stream and then somebody else watches you, and you see the differences between play styles. Like, he was telling me, use a medkit. I'm like, you know, I don't really want to use up all my medkits, and I got like 20 in my inventory, so
yeah.
I'm being a little stingy with it. But my idea going into that is that if I die, I just reload from the last save point, and then I try it again until I don't die. So, and then I can get to a medical bot. I'm being real cheap about the med kits, but he was saying I was being pretty liberal with the ammo, just like lighting up any monster that was out there. And it is true. I have like no ammo for the goo gun. Like, I'm constantly running out. I'm trying to whack things with a wrench. And so it's just interesting to see the different play styles when you watch someone.
What's the point?
I just heard that whole thing, and I think, Bill, let me play my game.
No, it was actually very helpful because he was telling me like what I need to do, where I need to go. Because when I talked about it last week, I described how you're on a space station and it's kind of like an open world environment where you have to go find quests. By the way, there are a lot more side quests now. I'm roughly halfway through the game at this point, and there are a ton more side quests. But it's easy to get lost because you have to go out into space and then like go to another hull or a part of the spaceship and enter it there. So it's actually easy to get lost on this. So he was helping guide me through some certain areas.
Do you spacewalk or do you have magnet boots?
No, you've got like thrusters in a spacesuit. You just like float around there, and there's no fuel to that, so you don't have to worry about it. It's fun, though. I'm really enjoying the game, still enjoying it. A lot of people have been asking me, like, is it worth it? I get that. Even people on my Steam friends list who I don't even know are just like, how was that game? I'm like, it's great. And they're like, well, is it worth the price? Because it's $60. That's a lot.
You mean $45.99? How much?
Yeah, it's $45.99, I think, on dlgamer.us, who hooked us up with this game, by the way. So very cool of them to do that. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, they've got the same price as a lot of other websites too.
Yeah.
But if you go to dlgamer.us, then you can support us by using our affiliate link. Just go to our website, dlgaming.net, and you'll see the link right there to get to it. But yeah, you can get it for $46.99, which I think it might be worth it. If you like those type of games, if you like
immersive Sims,
If we're going to call it that, yeah.
No, we're not.
If you like games like Bioshock, if you like games like Half-Life.
Immersive Sims, you mean?
I'm not. Those aren't really sim games, but.
Can't they just be immersive FPSs? Like, why does it have to be a sim?
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
All right. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. If you like those types of games, then you will love this game. And how often does this happen where a game comes out and there's like no bugs, no zero-day bugs that are just like...
That's true.
Like causing people all sorts of issues.
And how often do Bobby and I like the same game?
How often does Bobby like a game?
Yeah, that's true.
Let's start with that.
How often does Bobby not play HOTS to play a game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I came home from work every day that week, and I was like, I should play some Prey. I really want to play some Prey. But then, you know, people will hit me up on HOTS, and then I'll end up playing with them. And then finally on Friday, I'm like, I'm just going to come home, and first thing I'm going to do is load up Prey. And I played it solid, like, 3-4 hours. And then I finally got to a point where I was like, all right, this is a good stopping off point. I'll get back into some HOTS. But, yeah, if a game tears me away from Heroes of the Storm, like, that is a true sign of quality.
It's also ironic that I also prayed for you to stop playing HOTS.
Wow.
Boom.
And the wordplay.
All day. Have you met my friend? His name's All Day.
Every time I see, because I've never played the game, but I just, you know, see you guys playing every once in a while, it always looks like Bioshock. Just like a clone of Bioshock. Like,
it feels very similar to
okay.
That.
I think the style of it, where it's kind of this Art Deco looking thing.
It's more of, you mean like the aesthetic? Like,
yeah.
The aesthetic, like yeah.
See, I don't know, because Bioshock had a very Art Deco look to it. It was like space
Art Deco.
Yeah, it's space, but I don't know.
Well,
it doesn't
have
like the big bold letters. It doesn't have like everything's not gold rimmed. You know,
it is though in the cafe, and everything he sees is always the cafe. I'm in the cafe, and right now when you were playing.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was just that one.
I'm in the crew quarters. I'm in the crew quarters.
Okay. Well. Yeah. It looks cool, mm-hmm. And just the little I played it, yeah. I mean, I've seen it, you guys play it.
And as I've gotten further, I've encountered more enemies, and I'm finding out, and you know, again, thanks to Bill for pointing a lot of this stuff out to me, you need to use certain guns against certain enemies, and I really like that. Like, certain weapons are more efficient against other types of enemies, and you kind of got to figure out as you go what's going to be more effective.
Have you found the shock gun yet?
Yeah, the little pistol that stuns.
Yep.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And that does like nothing versus the mimics, I believe. Or
yeah, it's
not
just against humans, is what Bill says.
Yeah.
It stuns humans.
I haven't even found the human. Have you, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't encounter them until they're mind controlled by the mimics. So they're wandering around muttering stuff, but they don't come in until like way later in the game until you hit the crew quarters.
So you probably did jump that gun early. If they gave it to you right off the bat, but you can't like use it for anything later on?
I don't know. Maybe you found it in a specific area, but I don't think you'll need it for a while. I did find it kind of early, too. But this game is like that, where you can find content. Like, there was something that I did that Bill hadn't done, and there were other things that he had done first that I was just now getting to. It's not linear.
That's what you're going to get with open world, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If they did it right, that's exactly. And then Bobby and I meet at the water cooler, and it's like, wait, what? Oh, you did it this way? That's how you get people talking about your game.
Yeah. Yeah, many, many different ways to go around it. And I don't know if I talked about it last week, but I left off at the moral dilemma that they hit you with where there's... Did I talk about this last week?
You were saying that you could do the tech trees and that was kind of a...
Okay. Now, there's this specific part in the game that I stopped at because I couldn't decide. And then later I picked it up and made the decision. But you run into a guy, he's locked into a cage, and you look at his records and it's like, okay, human trafficking, lots of gnarly shit. That's the reason he's locked up. But then he says, hey, if you let me out of here, I can lead you to a chest. So your options are to let this dude out, and he presumably leads you to a chest where you get some loot, or you can release a mimic on him and it eats him, and then you can gather the resources from that. So I don't know. What do you guys do in that situation?
You let him out.
Oh,
it's a fucking game. It's a fucking game.
I'll let
the mimic Who cares about the weather? He didn't actually traffic human people
He's
a character in a game.
Me on the jury, if you're on trial here.
I saved all the little girls. I mean, we're talking about Bioshock, aren't we? Like saving the little girls versus.
Okay, the little girls were innocent. This guy was not innocent.
They're not
this
innocent.
Is a
no.
There's a reason this
They're all video souls. Game characters. Mm-hmm. Just do whatever is the best for your video game. That's
yeah,
all.
But see, if you do the best for your character, it might give you a worse ending.
Well, see, that's an interesting thing. Like, do they reward you more for making the morally correct choice or not? Because the way I figured is, if I let him out, maybe he leads me to this loot chest and I get some stuff. Maybe he doesn't. And knowing this game, there's probably another way to get into that loot chest anyway.
Yeah, probably.
But also, if I release the mimic on him, then he dies and the mimic dies, I get to collect the resources from both of those.
Guaranteed.
So I feel like I'm getting, yeah. So I don't know. Plus, you know, I mean, he did some bad shit. I was judge, jury, executioner on that one. I pulled the trigger, you know, decision made.
All slept right. Like a baby afterwards.
Quick with the justice.
Shall we talk Stardust Galaxy Warriors? Do you want to bring that up first?
Sure. You can bring it up.
So the Mayo got me this game. Thank you, the Mayo. Appreciate that. And it is called Stardust Galaxy Warriors : Stellar Climax. And I do enjoy a stellar climax.
But Bobby,
wouldn't it be hilarious if we just let it ride and didn't say a thing about
no,
that?
No, no, no.
But they're not taking this spell seriously. Like it's all overly Japanese on purpose.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a Japanese developer.
This game. So Emilio and I played this. It's a four-person co-op, but it's a shmup. So it's a four-person co-op shmup, and you're playing these mechanized robots.
Think Raiden.
But you don't play as a
spaceship.
You play as a mech. What do you think?
Is it top down?
No, it's side scroller.
Side scroller. So I'll go through exactly the 40 minutes that we played. My first minute was, oh, this is pretty sweet.
And then the music starts playing. Yeah. It's got a good like synth
and then
soundtrack.
5 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, I know everything this is going to do. And then 10 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, this is the best game I've ever played. And then like 40 minutes later, Chad's like, we got to go to the podcast. I'm like, I want to keep going. Yeah. It's not the greatest game ever. That's for sure. It's just a smut. I thought I was over this. But they just pulled it off really, really well.
Yeah, they do it well. It's not too much. It's not too little. It's just like the perfect amount. We did get to a part that kept dying at, though. And I'm wondering, like, are we just fucked then if we can't?
What, you mean the acid one?
Like that boss that we died at a couple times. Like, if you can't beat it, I mean, it's not like a roguelike. Like, you can't just go back and start over and be stronger, right?
I mean, you can start from the beginning and build differently.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So, there's what we're talking about is the tech tree and the leveling up. You're constantly leveling up. Per level, you level up like 4 times.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the level, you get to buy another thing that levels you up even more. So, that's what really keeps you going. And you can build a bunch of different ways. There's randomness going on because... sometimes
you get 3 options at the end of each section,
yeah.
But there's like 8 or so different things you can level up. So it gives you 3 options out of those 8 that you could pick to level up.
Yeah. So you might be building a certain way, but not be able to spec into it for that level. So you have to go a different direction. But then at the end of the level, after you beat the boss, you get to buy from the shop. And what he has is randomized as well, but he has a lot more options.
Yeah,
and then he has like, yeah, it's a fun game. There's not that much more to talk about.
How much was the price, Bobby?
Music's good.
The music was really good.
Graphics are actually really good for shmup. Maybe one of the best.
Yeah,
because
$10. I would say it's worth that $10
so
far.
Absolutely, I think so.
We don't know about the replayability. We didn't get through the whole game, so we don't know. You know, obviously, when you start up a new campaign, you can select like difficulty and change a bunch of different sliders and stuff like that. So you could mess with it a lot. And I think it also had a thing where the achievements are based on what sort of difficulties and what sort of settings you had. So it'll tell you which achievements are earnable based on what you have. And so you could replay based on that, I think. Mm. So, yeah, all in all, we liked it. Again, this is Stardust Galaxy Warriors : Stellar Climax. So if you're into shmups, you might want to give that one a go.
Or if you just haven't... I kept thinking of, like, this is me and a friend at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Spending quarters,
I was just picturing Radiant, Raiden. You know, that I used to love that game, just going into the arcade playing.
All this is right. It was time to play a SMUP again, and it just happened to be a good one. Yeah. And I didn't know any of this.
Yeah. And it's up to four person, too. So a lot of shmups only do two players. So.
Is that local co-op?
Yeah, local. Yeah. We didn't check to see if it had online. Does it have online? Yeah,
and it had a bunch of game modes that we didn't check out either.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's online.
Okay.
But I could recommend this game.
Cool.
I'll go.
Yeah.
So Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Was it last month ago? I think we went.
I think that was 2 months ago. That was when Origin, Mass Effect Andromeda came out.
Came out, yeah. So we signed up for Origin.
Origin Access.
Origin Access, and it's $5 a month. But if you buy it for the year, it's $250 a month. And we ended up paying, what's $250 a month times 12?
Jesus, I don't know. $25.
No, it was like $32 or whatever, because the 50 cents adds up, right?
Okay.
24 plus six, $30.
And then,
yes.
Okay.
When you play, you bought 12 Origin Access passes for a year?
No, the Origin Access subscription. Bought it for the year.
Yeah, but it's $2.50 for the entire year or for each month?
Each month.
For each month.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're really bad at math, apparently, or drunk. One of the two.
Yeah, I'm getting really drunk. But
stop
anyway.
Drinking that. That's all.
No,
fucking,
it's fucking
whiskey.
Delicious.
Holy shit! I'm gonna have to carry him home.
So we're like, this is a no-brainer, because you get the Origin catalog.
Vault,
that's what they call it. And there's a bunch of good games on there. So we said that we're going to start playing it, but Chad dropped the ball on that, so I picked up.
I've booted up Unravel at least four different times, and every time I boot it up, something happens, and then I have to immediately close it down. So I've watched the intro to Unravel like four times. I can tell you about that, but I can't tell you anything
it
more
crashes?
About it. No, like... somebody will come home or something will happen or somebody shouts
IRL.
My name. Yeah.
Happens. So anyway, one of the newer games on there is Mirror's Edge Catalyst. And that is a sequel to Mirror's Edge, obviously. I started playing
Which didn't get good reviews, right, when it came out?
Not super good.
Can you bring up the Catalyst scene? I want to see what the reviews look like.
Yeah, I don't think it was like bad reviews, but I think it just
kind of passed without notice. Oh, it's not
on Steam, is it? No, it's not on Steam.
Oh, okay, that's right.
Well, anyways. Still the Metacritic. And I can see what people didn't like, I guess. We're looking at 6.8 out of 10. I would say that's...
Metacritic 74.
It's a gorgeous game, a beautiful city, and it's open world this time. It's not so linear, but... maybe if I was in a helicopter, I'd be enjoying this beautiful city that it's completely rendered all the way through, and you can run through the whole thing. But guess what? We're running through hallways within the city.
Yeah.
You're not seeing the city that they spent so much time. You are, but in your periphery. And it's not the greatest
thing
ever.
How's the combat, though?
Terrible. I guess it's kind of fun, but it's not realistic at all. Like... it's kind of like if you were Bruce Lee in one of his movies.
Oh, okay,
one guy comes at you, and the other guys wait, and they wait their turn in the background. Because what you're playing here is a rhythm game, or something close to it. You're going through the motions, and you're trying to push the right buttons at the right times. And like I said, it looks fantastic. The controls are pretty tight, but it's just kind of lacking... and fun. I feel like I'm almost playing like a racing game or like a racing rhythm game.
Gotcha.
And it just happens to have full character models in it, you know?
Question for you though.
I'm not completely over it. I'm going to give it at least another hour. I played about an hour and a half, 2 hours today. We'll see.
If they modded it for VR, do you think it would just be like, it would be really good at that point?
Yeah, for sure. You know, cause you're adding that,
immersion.
Verticality. Yeah, the verticality to the immersion, you know, because like when you leap for ledge here, I'm already leaning forward in my seat a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you added that complete immersion, then I could see myself getting really scared about every jump.
Hmm.
So, yeah. And some people have said that the game Cliffhanger, I believe, is like one of the scariest things you could play on VR, because it really makes you feel like you're on the side of a cliff.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
But... more on that next week. What I can say for sure is Star Wars Battlefront is not fun at all. I put in like 3 or 4 hours this week, and more on my monitor later. It is an absolutely stunning looking game. Beautiful production value through the roof. Gorgeous. I can't have fun. I tried all of their different fucking modes. I tried everything. And then the community is not really there either. One of my daily quests or weekly quests or just quests that are just there is capture 5 droids or 15 droids. And I had to ask in general chat, like, what does this mean? They're like, there's a game mode called Droid Run. Nobody plays Droid Run anymore, so...
Literally can't get the daily
done. Get that daily done.
Well, aside from the community being missing at this point,
they're not missing. Like, you can get in a game within 30 seconds.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a big community playing this game. Aside from that, like, what was wrong with the gameplay?
You spawn and then you run out and you walk into an AT-AT. I mean, you're just dead. Oh, and then you spawn again somewhere else, and you're just dead. And over and over and over. And I'm sure it kind of happens in the Battlefield games, too. Like, you can get owned right away. But there's something special about the Star Wars rules that, like, laser blasters are... it's really hard to put into words, but if you're playing Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 2 or whatever, and a grenade goes off and you die... You're like, okay, I clearly died because of that grenade there. But in Star Wars, you're dying over and over and over, and you're not sure why. And I've played enough games where at the very minimum, I should know what's killing me, but I'm not sure what's killing me all the time. The other thing, there's this new thing called dodge roll or combat roll that you can spec into.
Wait, I guess. New thing?
In this game. It wasn't originally in the game.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I can't do it right now.
So but it might have happened a year ago. It's just new for you.
But also, you can't do it right off the bat either. Like, I can't do it still.
Okay.
And so you must spec into it, or there's an item that you can do it with. And it's so broken. Like, people doing it, it's almost like their body becomes a snake for 1 second, and then they pop up over here. It's the poorly animated, and it's super powerful. And then 2 seconds later, they can do it again, this combat. I know it sounds like I'm a newbie coming in.
You're a bitch.
And I know that's what that is. There's a lot of that going on. But I can't even see the potential for fun in this game. The most fun thing in this game is just the vistas and just looking around. It's
so you're playing gorgeous. Like a walking simulator.
Where
I wish I was. Just go to-
I'm having more fun in single player. What they did do well was the unlocking part of it. You know, you're leveling up throughout stuff, throughout the game, and you're unlocking. I like the pacing of that, but it's really hard to shoot people in the head when they're slithering on the ground. Hmm. I really, really hope, and I think I have a lot of hope for the next Star Wars Battlefront. I think they're going to learn a lot of what went wrong. I think they're going to take a lot of things from Battlefield 1, which was a fantastic game, and apply it over to... I think lasers is really what's hurting them, a lot of it. Like, what? Lasers are so... You could do so many cool things with bullets. You can have shotguns. There's no shotguns in lasers. It just doesn't happen. There's no shotgun.
So a wide laser?
Yeah, it doesn't happen. You can have bullet drop. You can have all these things with projectiles. Lasers doesn't have anything. It just goes through your body and you're dead.
So you're saying Battlefront, like, they're going to be lasers. It's Star Wars.
Yeah. They're just going to have to make them interesting somehow.
Mm. Okay. Fair enough.
When does Battlefront 2 come out?
November.
I still think they need to do it like Modern Warfare, the other ones, like where you have killstreak rewards or somehow other rewards, and you don't necessarily... I just hated how people would just run to these to turn into Luke or fucking Darth Vader or whatever like that. That was just silly.
Playing that now, that whole thing. So just so you know what we're talking about, there's not traditional pickups. Like, you don't see...
They don't spawn vehicles that you run into. You have to go run over, like, some sort of power-up, and then automatically you're in one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to still call it down, but it's up to you whether or not you want to call it down. Hmm. And it's kind of randomized as well. So you might run over a power-up, and it might be a turret. But then you might run it over, and then you get to be Darth Vader. So, but then the enemies see the same power-ups. So people kind of run towards the same thing. I see what they were doing, and I don't hate it as much as I hated it before. That part's kind of growing on me. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I want to play it just because it looks so great. And that's pretty much the only thing that's making me stick around. And there's a lot of content for you going in with a partner. Most games are like four-player squads. This game's built around a two-party system. I can spawn on one person, not on a squad leader. So, Chad, as soon as you download this, we can give it a shot and see.
Well, based on your stellar recommendation on this game, I'll be for sure download this right off the bat.
So, Chad got my hand-me-down screen. And
oh, yeah.
It's so much better than what you had.
It's sad because you spent all of last podcast just shitting on your screen.
Yeah.
And then
I gave it to you.
And then you gave it to me. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so much better than what... Like, if you were...
Are you talking about a computer screen or a TV?
No.
It's a TV.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, it's too big. How big is the TV? That's what she said.
How big is it?
It's 34-inch. 34-inch across. Or corner.
Yeah, 34-inch. That seems too big of a monitor. You'd have to push that, like, way back.
We'll talk about that later.
I'm digging it. But, yeah. We'll talk about it.
But, dude, he was playing on something that didn't even have, like, he was playing on, like, a laptop screen.
It was one of those CRTs that weighed, like,
No, it wasn't a CRT. It wasn't a CRT, but it wasn't even something that...
I'm curious, do you think any of our listeners still use a CRT?
There was a while that people continued to use CRTs just because they think it gave them some sort of competitive edge, but I think those times have even passed.
Why is that? Because the refresh rate is, like, what?
Dude, you could hear that when it turned on, like the just cancer like going into your fucking face. You could fucking. Yeah.
I had a giant CRT. It was like huge for back in the day. And I also had this giant subwoofer that was eventually going to go in my car. And I set the subwoofer next to it. And then there was this huge discoloration on my screen. And I didn't realize for the longest time that the sub was causing the discoloration on the edge of the computer. Then one
the
day,
magnet or whatever.
A week or two later, I moved it away and it goes away. Yeah, it's the magnet in a sub that caused it to do that. So they're sensitive to magnets.
The CRTs were the heaviest.
Bobby, can you get rid of that box, please?
The heaviest shit I've... What's heavier than a CRT monitor? Do you remember, like, lugging around, like, a 20-inch CRT monitor?
My fucking 35-inch Trinitron Sony.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
It dude.
You needed, like, a fucking forklift.
Three guys to move this fucking...
How big was it?
I paid $2,400. For a 35-inch Trinitron.
But it was top of the line.
Top of the line at the time.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was literally a vehicle you might as well have gotten. Anyways.
Well, monitors later. Ooh, yes. If I'm still conscious.
We just dated ourselves really bad. So I played some more of Nier Automata.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm liking it more and more. I said last week I wasn't sure if I could recommend it. I'm really enjoying it. First of all,
it's really good reviews.
It's very Japanese, so take that with a grain of salt. But after the intro, where it's like 45 minutes before you get to actually get into the game, it's now turned into sort of a mashup between... Demon Souls, I guess. So when you die, so it goes into this open world sort of concept, and you're picking up quests and stuff. But then if you die, you have to go get your body if you want to get your resources back from the last time you saved. Mm. And
kind of like, wow,
a little bit, a little bit. But it felt more like
EverQuest.
Maybe. But it's pretty. The action's fun.
I feel a drawing to this game like I haven't felt like for a Japanese game. This one's drawing me in more. I want to play this pretty bad.
Yeah. So I had a couple people ask me, you know, is it worth it? And right now I would say yes. It's
$60 game.
It feels like a AAA title, and if I bought it, I would not have been disappointed so far.
Hey guys, also let me know. However, just mention me in Discord. I'm really, because Sam's really thinking about buying a Switch. Should I review the newest Zelda game? Everybody that I've talked to has played it, is enthralled with it. They've all beat it, actually, which is a $90 game. I will do it if you guys want me to, because I kind of want to, but I won't do it without the permission of the people that I love.
Fuck, no. I say you just do it, because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
I actually want to play. Can I borrow your Switch?
Well,
the one that you're borrowing?
Yeah.
Can I borrow the one you're borrowing?
You know what made her think about buying it? Binding of Isaac. She found that Binding of Isaac on the Switch. That was it. Oh, by the way, hey, you can get Binding of Isaac for $7.99 on Steam, or you can pay $40 on the Switch.
Yeah. Wow,
$40. That's a thing.
Wow.
Anyways, can I get back to my review of Nier Automata? Yeah. That was it. I was done.
Okay, cool. All right.
It's amazing how big they make the swords. You can always tell it's a Japanese game.
Yeah.
I read an article like a long time ago. I have no idea where, but it was about the importance or the significance they put on weapons in Japanese culture when it comes to making video games.
It's because they have tiny little cocks, dude.
Is that it? I don't think that's what the article is getting at. But yeah, if you look at a lot of games like that, even guns inside of arms, like they don't use a lot of firearms, really. It's a lot of giant swords. I'll have to find that again. It was a good article. Anyway, any other things that we were talking about?
Battle Brothers?
Yeah, Battle Brothers.
Oh, so, Battle Brothers, yeah.
Fixac, nonstop with the suggestions. And I got to say, I mean, you really need to push people to take a suggestion. I don't know what it is about taking suggestions from people, but people are more reluctant to take a suggestion because I think when somebody suggests something and you take the suggestion and then you like it, it seems like the other person's right and you were wrong, just right off the bat.
No,
yeah, it's a psychological thing. There was
what is
it
called?
There is a name for it. But when you discover something on your own, then you feel like you have ownership over that. Or if you and a buddy were watching TV and then you're like, oh, let's check out this show, and you both like it, then that's a thing that you have. But if you go to someone and you're like, hey, dude, you got to watch this show, this is really good, and like instinctively you're like, fuck you, no, I don't tell me what to do. That's kind of just like. Like an attitude that you have mentally, but it's not like that aggressive, but yeah.
Not at all. Like I have no problem with it. I know that everything he suggests he's been 100% on his suggestions, but still there's just resistance. And yeah, it's probably what you're talking about. And that's the whole thing about like,
so you had played Battle Brothers before though.
No, you covered it.
And I liked it.
Yeah, but Chad and I both played it.
No, you were like I don't know. I felt like you were kind of
I really don't like the art style.
I don't like the art style at all.
So I said I don't like the art style, but the game itself is fun.
Okay. And Bobby, what was your thought?
I only played very little of it. But yeah, it's a turn-based tactical RPG, and I felt like it did that part really well. I think my biggest issue was the small print. Was that this game? I think it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and you might find this out with your new monitor, but sometimes games don't scale the print. So you'll get like, you know, super high resolution, little tiny print. Yeah, I can tell by looking at this. Yes, that was an issue.
I had some big issues with this game right away. My mouse didn't work at all in this game. So I had to go into my DLL files and like modify some stuff, and so I already went in with the sourpuss, you know, and then I started playing it, and man, this is such a good game. So you're building up a band of brothers to do battle with, battle brothers.
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, they put story into every random dude, every random fisherman you can barely afford, and put a knife in his hand and see how he does, because you know he's going to die, but maybe he doesn't. And then four fights later, he pulls you aside and he's like, hey man, I just did fishing for all my life, and I really don't know about all this stuff. And you go like, none of us really know about war, son. And he says, okay, sir. And then he levels up twice just because the inspiration you gave him by the choice you made. That's one dude in a game that has 700 dudes. I mean, it's fucking fantastic how much time I really like how if you go to a small town and that town specializes in wine and you buy up all their wine and you take it to the big town where they don't have any wine and you sell that wine, you make a shit ton of profit, but you have to have made that journey to do that. So there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of like go fetch quests, but nobody's telling you go get us wine. You're taking the initiative on the fetch quests.
And, gotcha.
Yeah, which is like how it would work. Like you're an entrepreneur that happens to have a sword, you know? What I didn't like was that the lack of encounters. You really have to search out a fight in this game. And because fights are so profitable. If you win a fight, it's everything you need. It's gold, it's experience, it's all this stuff.
Yeah, but you hurt your own guys though, right?
That's the thing. Once you do find the fight, it could be completely one-sided against you or for you or right in the middle. And two of those you don't really want. You just want the ones that are one-sided in your favor. But gotcha. It's completely random, which is good. I like that aspect of it, but the fights are so infrequent that you don't... I don't know. There wasn't enough fighting for me.
Okay.
But...
Was the fighting fun, though? Did you enjoy the
fighting? The fighting was fun.
Okay.
Yeah. There just wasn't enough fighting for me. It was...
But you were okay with the art style and everything like that?
You know... I would rather my characters have legs.
Okay.
They all our characters look like Russian nesting dolls. Mm. But
okay.
You know.
But all in all, you would recommend this game.
Highly.
Okay.
Highly, highly recommend.
This must have just recently been released officially, because when I played it not too long ago, back in January, it was in early access.
Yeah. It says the release date March 24th.
The other thing I didn't like is that the first quest you do is always the exact same quest.
Yeah.
I think
that's like the tutorial, sort of.
Yeah, but how about 75 times in? It's a roguelike, if you guys don't know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, oh yeah. You die, you're not supposed to make it. Like, you just keep going.
I played it, there didn't seem like there was a direction. It didn't seem like there was a main quest line.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be like that?
Yeah, exactly.
So is there anything persistent through deaths?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
So it's a straight, like, you're supposed to fail, start again, fail, start again, and learn as you go. And okay. It's kind of like Binding of Isaac, where the only thing you're taking from your prior runs is knowledge.
Okay.
There must be like a dragon or something at the end of this game that you can build up towards. Fake Zach was talking about buying $15,000 axes, and I only have like $700. So he's way, way further than me. What are you going to use that on? There must be like some crazy shit eventually.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I'm going to keep playing it, because there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of just walking. I even fast forward the walking, and I'm still like... When you're playing Final Fantasy and you're walking, you know you're going to have three fights between City A and City B.
Yeah.
I go City A, B, C, D, E, and I still haven't fought random dudes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it just seems like a lot of running around. Hmm. Anyway, great fucking game. I didn't bother renaming my dudes because they die so frequently. I mean...
You're mentioning this because Leet Milf says naming your men is fun?
No, I didn't even seen that. I lost 78 Chads, and like right around 78, I was like, okay, enough Chads have died,
you know? Yeah, seriously, cut some slack. Yeah. Will you?
Chad the farmer, Chad the fisherman, they're all dead. They're at the bottom of the rhythm somewhere.
So that game is how much? $20 on Steam right now?
Totally worth it. Production value is super high.
Did you want to talk about your unboxing stuff at all?
Yeah, are you going to spruce it up? First of all, are you going to spruce it up? Bobby, you can't just put it up
raw. The footage? Yeah, I'll edit that. Yeah.
So break it down. Let people know what's going on.
So we're getting into hardware?
It was listed on the highlights. That's why.
I didn't put it there.
Okay. Then I guess we're saving it for later.
Yeah, let's go into listener questions.
Okay, let's do it.
Do we have doing the mobile corner?
First of all, I want to prefaces this by saying apologies recycled. He sent me new, because last week we said we needed a little, we needed the Mobile Corner intro sped up. So he sent me one and I left it at home before I came over here. So I do not have it this week, but next week, thank you, Recycled. We'll play the new ones next week.
All right.
Okay. Mobile Corner. Oh, he's back.
Chats. Mobile Corner.
So this week, Injustice 2 is coming out Tuesday, and I'm actually excited for this game to come out. It's not a PC game, so I will not be talking about it. But they did come out with the mobile version of it.
Wait, Injustice 2 is not coming out for PC?
I don't think it is. I didn't. Bobby, do you want to look and see if it's up for PC? I don't believe it is. So they did the mobile version. It's the same as last mobile version. It's a fighting game. They got a bunch of stuff. Everything's good about it. I'm going to go off on a... I want to go off on a little rant, but where the fuck are these games? Where's the fun in these fucking games? Every game I review these days, it's like, where's the actual game? They have everything around
it.
It's free.
Then there you go.
There's 200 characters. No, there's fucking all these ways to level up. They've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on millions of dollars probably to make this fucking game. But they didn't make a fucking game. Every fighting game, you push four buttons, push forward, push four buttons. Like, it's... I don't understand. How can they do this?
Welcome to the end of Chad's Mobile Corner.
I don't get it.
No, dude, you realize this every week, and then like you forget, and you come back, and you're just like, why are mobile games shit?
Well, I just don't get it. Like,
dude,
who the fuck is designing these fucking games? It's not a fucking game if there's no fun here. What the fuck? Ah, Jesus Christ. On a fucking cracker. So anyways, I don't think this game's that fun, but...
Because what's fun is unlocked. That's what people live for, dude.
No.
It doesn't matter what the package is. No. I'm not just saying like us or like reviewing games. People have figured out the human psyche. It's all about blah, 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 and then unlocking boxes. It doesn't matter what you put in the middle. As long as it's flashy and it's like rewards you with all this... color and lights, and you get to open these boxes, it doesn't matter. It does not matter what's in the middle. It's going to make its money back because it's natural human instinct to open those boxes and get rewarded.
But
it's all rewards.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's what these click games are.
It doesn't... I don't know who it's working on, but it's not working on me. Like...
No, it is because you review...
No, every week I'm saying the same thing. I try the next one... And the same thing happens.
All right, how about you just do original games then? Don't even bring them up. Because everybody knows. This is why people stay off at these games.
Fuck.
Except for 8-Ball
Pool.
Well, love
that shit.
I'm going to have to... I have to play this a little bit because one of the characters I've heard, you have to unlock through the mobile game.
Which one?
I forget what he's called. I think it's like some sort of digital character. Anyways. So I'm Yeah, I'm so over these fucking games.
The only reason that I said, Injustice 2 isn't on PC is because I really enjoyed Injustice playing single. The thing about fighting games is that their single player is extremely lacking all the time, every time, guaranteed. Street Fighter doesn't have a story. None of them have a story. But Injustice 1 had this, like...
Awesome story.
A really good story, and... Like these prologues and the fights made sense, kind of. Some of them were forced, but it didn't matter because, like, I have a reason to be fighting this person as opposed to just like they're just standing in front of me. So, and Injustice was the first ones that did that, right?
Yeah,
I think.
No, well, Mortal Kombat 9
tried it,
did it, and that was what the preface was. And then they came out with Injustice, and that just expanded on it.
Gotcha.
But Injustice is based on the DC universe versus the Mortal Kombat universe where nobody really fucking cares. But the DC universe, like... And then they went a dark fucking way with Injustice, and it was just, like, so out of character for DC. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you know the preface of Injustice, but basically the Joker kills Lois Lane, which makes fucking...
Superman
go crazy... And then I think they blow up Metropolis, and then Superman fucking kills the Joker, and then Superman goes on this, becomes a tyrant, and says, I'm going to stop all crime, and just gets more and more tyrannical. And then Batman is trying to stop Superman from being this despot.
Like a Nazi.
Yeah. And so, like, that's what all, like, Injustice is about. Like, this dark, crazy shit. Like, Superman punches a hole through the Joker. Like, it's so, like, not DC.
It was really good. And you can get it for, like, $5 these days. And even though you're not into fighting games, it's worth going through the different levels. Just play it once on easy if you've never played a fighting game. It's worth the $5. It's that good of an experience. Graphics are great. All of that.
So
that's why I was like, Injustice 2 isn't on PC because, you know, eventually.
Well, they're saying it might be on PC. They don't know yet. It hasn't been announced.
If they ported it well,
but Injustice 1 wasn't on PC for a while either.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've played a little bit of Injustice 2, and the facial animations on Injustice 2 are so good. It's blown my fucking mind. Like, I'm astounded by these.
Wait, on your phone?
No, this is for on consoles.
Okay.
Like, the main, they do the best fucking facial animation, and it's so
hilarious. You've ever seen?
Ever. It's amazing. Like, the subtlety, there's a scene that Superman comes in, and they're surrounded by, so Batman confronts Superman, and they're surrounded by prisoners, and Batman and Superman's like, 2 minutes, and everybody just scatters, and Superman gives these like sneering like stare at all these people as they like run by him.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. It looks it looks so good, and it's so funny coming straight from Mass Effect Andromeda, where they look like fucking. But you need to check them out. And they actually do all the same scenes in the mobile one that they do in the console one. So if we don't get it, it might be worth just getting the mobile one just to play the story mode, because the actual movies are just really well done in this game.
And I'm off of Chaz's mobile corner. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. 8-ball pool, 3-4 weeks in a row. Fucking,
you're obsessed with that one.
It's so good. It's because there's none of that shit. First of all, you don't have to watch videos. And there's no fluff because you're playing against real people every single time. One-on-one, he has the same tools you do. You have the same tools he does, except for you can upgrade your
pool stick.
But it doesn't matter. I beat dudes with way better cues than me all the time. And it's just, the other day, I bet there's this game that you can go in and it's bet. It's called All In. So everything you have versus everything, not everything they have, but
whoever has the least,
exactly
the same amount. Gotcha.
And I went up against this like level 27 super, and he potted the 8-ball twice, and I just took all the chips. I doubled up.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Last thing about mobile stuff, Spun requested that I try a game called Dungeon Quest, so that's what I will be playing for next week. So there we go.
That's a super old game. I'm pretty sure that's like a Diablo clone. I'm pretty sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if there's fun, then I will enjoy it.
I think it's like Dungeon Quest 3 or 4 is out now. I think it's nope, I'm way wrong.
Okay.
Yep, I haven't seen that before.
All right. So we're on to listener questions.
Yeah, yep. Let's do it.
All right.
Bobby's having a great time.
I never chime in on the mobile stuff. I got nothing to say about mobile, man. You know how I feel about it.
Well, I feel really like it. I'm sorry I talk mobile stuff every week, but I'm traveling. All my weekends are like...
I take you seriously in that shirt, man.
Yeah, you love it.
So much. It's so good.
It's so good.
So good.
I'm so glad.
I'm going to pay, because we pay either way, but... Yeah.
That one. Stop staring at my tits, will you?
It's great.
Jesus.
There's a listener question that isn't on here that I want to bring up. Somebody said, what do we pay... What does all the Patreon money go towards? Like, what are we paying towards? And I would say like 7-8 episodes ago, Chad said, you know, keep sending us money, but as soon as we figure out what to do with it, we're going to... I was like, dude, we obviously have plans. Anyway, the plan is...
Oh, we have a plan?
Yeah, we need a studio.
Oh, that's right.
Bobby doesn't like us using it as a place of a studio. We obviously can't.
We fart and spill everywhere. Yeah. So
And we can't put tits on the walls here.
Yeah,
the
seriously.
Sound isn't that great. It's good. It's not that great. There's airplanes going by.
Acoustics are just poor in this room, and the lighting's terrible, and there's just not a lot of space in here. So if we don't really need any more equipment. If we're going to progress and start doing video stuff,
yeah, we need to do video.
We need a studio. That's the next logical step.
So. And what comes with the studio is live Twitch stream. So you guys would have just been listening. You'd be seeing our gorgeous tits and cocks and all that.
Yep.
Backgrounds, like we're gonna design it the way we want. All that stuff, that's what we're working towards. That's the goal. That's what we're doing. But we're a long way off. Even if you have no money, $1 a month would... If everybody did $1 a month, that would be too much. I'm not pandering. I'm just saying.
We appreciate anything.
Am I pandering?
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's where our money's going.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is eventually where it will go. But
other than Bobby's hookers and blow,
yeah,
everything else is going towards that.
A lot of that.
Yep. $200 off per day goes to Bobby, and then we get the rest.
Yep.
We're up to 76 cents.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. We've got a question here. Oh, my God. I forgot to put who posted this one.
Doesn't matter. Let's go.
All right. Well, they added me on Discord, and they asked about...
That wasn't the original question.
No, this is a follow-up to the question. They asked about some stuff that was going on. They wanted us to weigh in our thoughts on what was going on with the OWL, the Overwatch League, the league format that Blizzard is trying to set up for their competitive Overwatch scene. Apparently, rumors have circulated that they want $20 million for a franchise, which is ludicrous, according to some people. It's $1.8 million for a league franchise, $1 billion for an NFL franchise, according to my internet research, which I don't know if that's accurate.
I don't even understand what you're saying.
You can't even get an NFL one.
Yeah, you can't get one.
You could have $10 billion, and they still wouldn't give you an NFL.
You're comparing one to the other. Gotcha. Yeah.
But to buy a franchise means that, like, if you were Dignitas and you want to have a team, you want to represent a team in OWL, and, of course, Blizzard is going to promote that through all their shit. There's going to be merchandise and advertising and all that stuff. Your name's going to be out there. You know, you're going to own a franchise in their Overwatch League, which they're trying to get together. So a lot of teams, I think up to nine, have backed out of this, saying that they don't want to... They haven't directly said it was because of the fees, but they said that they just have backed out of it for reasons partially because of the costs involved. So I don't know. Blizzard has responded to this saying that, some of this could be being used for leverage purposes in negotiations, or, they're not going to comment directly on how much the cost is. But I don't know. What do you guys think? $20 million for a franchise? Is that too much?
I think we don't want a studio anymore. What we need is an Overwatch franchise.
Yep.
I think that's where all the Patreon money is going straight to it. No, I have no idea.
It's
hard to say because I don't have a...
It depends on if Overwatch has staying power, because you could potentially be making...
Staying power as an esport, too.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
We can all agree it's an incredibly successful game, but as an esport,
yeah.
I don't know if it's the best to watch because of the spectator tools, and I don't know if...
Not just that,
so,
dude. I think a lot of it has to be the casual nature of it. Like, they at the same time, they were going for a broad audience. Let's appeal to as many people as possible, but in doing that, that kind of excludes... The elite player, I think. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say the whole first-person nature of it, but Counter-Strike is incredibly successful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it could be just because of the nature of the game, just of its casual nature. But I don't know if... I think Blizzard will make adjustments to help it thrive in the competitive scene. But I don't know. If it is, because Blizzard is behind this, and they're very successful with everything that they do, and they refuse to let any of these things die. And Blizzard, like we said months ago... They believe in esports as the future. You know, they think this is going to be a growing market. It's going to be incredibly huge. It's going to be like the next big thing. And if that's true, I mean, if what we believe is true, that this will one day eventually be as big as other sports like baseball and football, then $20 million is not a whole lot
to ask.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I don't know. And these are big organizations, too. I don't know, like, how much money they throw around. But, Cloud9, Dignitas, Fnatic, these are all... there's got to be a lot of money there.
That's
so
what
it's
saying.
An investment.
It's hard to put an opinion on this because we don't know the variables of
Well, yeah, but you never do. It's a risk and it's an investment. Yeah. If you believe that esports are going to be huge, then this is a fucking deal. Even though $1.8 million for a league franchise, $20 million for a Overwatch franchise, Blizzard is going to be leading the way into esports. They're going to be the ESPN of esports, like, or the whatever example you want to, they're going to be the ones that
do
push
you,
this.
Do you think so?
I disagree, dude.
I think so.
Because they're putting the money. They have two things going on at once that don't go along with each other. One is they want a broad spectrum. They want to appeal to everybody on every computer at every age and every skill level. And then they also want a super competitive game that appeals to esports. And you can't have those together in the same game.
I mean, you can. League kind of does that.
No, it doesn't. I can't play League.
Well, that's because you're a terrible player.
Okay.
You are pretty bad at RTSs.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Blizzard doesn't have a single successful esport right now. Their Hearthstone one, I don't think is successful right now. So I don't know if Blizzard is necessarily, they have the money to do so, but I think they're still in the infancy stages of learning the game.
Yeah, they have the money to do so, and they are doing so. Like, I think they are in the works, in the process of trying to make this mainstream. And as big as Dota and Counter-Strike are, and those are both Valve properties, they just kind of let it do its own thing,
exactly.
And they make a ton of money off of it. Blizzard is like, no, we want to get the marketing, the advertising, the sponsorships. We want to, like, start the business of esports. We want to create the business and legitimize it.
Didn't they purchase like an esports organization also, like MLG or something like that?
I think so, because this is all through MLG. The OWL is like...
I think that's actually Blizzard's now.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Well, I don't know. Do you think they had talked about having different regions and the teams based in different regions? Is that all tied to this as well?
Yeah, they did say a little something about that. What do they call that? They had a word for it. I had to look it up because I didn't recognize what it meant.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering, is it $20 million to own an LA franchise versus $10 million to own a fucking
that's what they're talking
Seattle
about.
Franchise?
Yeah, it's different depending on where it is. So New York, a lot of money. LA, a lot of money. Other areas, not so much.
So maybe that is the thing. Like, it's $20 million to own a New York or LA franchise versus $1 million to own one from Portland or whatever one it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's...
Wow. Take that, Portland.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think $20 million, if somebody said, do you have $20 million to invest in a baseball, basketball, football one, anybody would jump on it.
Yeah.
Now the question
because it's
is
well established, but if you
the question is, does it have the staying power?
Yeah, but it's it's risk. Like when you're going to produce something, like even a movie, like that's a lot of fucking money, and you could make Avengers 3, and you know it's going to make a ton of money. There's no risk there. But if someone says, you know, I want, you know, $1 million to make this movie, and I don't know if it's going to be a success. I mean, there's a lot more of a risk there. So I don't know. This all boils down, in my view, it boils down to, do you think esports is going to be huge in 10, 20 years?
Yes, absolutely.
But you don't think it's going to be Overwatch or Blizzard?
I don't think it's going to be Blizzard because of the exact same thing that I said.
But you're drawing this from one specific game.
No. Every single one of their games is going for mass appeal.
So you think they're divided by trying to appeal to the
everyone
and to the esports?
Because you can't have both.
Wait, hold on. League of Legends is more casual than Dota, which is the more successful esport.
Sure. But, I mean...
But what?
It's not easy to play League of Legends.
No, the fact of the matter...
It's not easy by any means.
The fact of the matter is the more people that play your game, the more successful you will be as an esport because you have the bigger install
people
base.
People watch the game they're playing. I think Blizzard is smart enough to realize that realize the changes they need to make. So if they say, well, this is hurting the esports side of it, the competitive side, then we need to balance this or change that.
And that's
and they are very good at that. I will give them that. But you're saying accessibility as far as being able to play on your shit PC? Or you're saying ease of access?
I'm saying...
LOL is not easy to get into.
Dude, yes it is.
No, it's not. HOTS is.
I'm just saying, like, there's a reason they have 30 million people playing the game.
I think
there's a reason that there's people that play League of Legends and no other game.
All right.
It's not hard to get into. It's hard for you because you want to be competitive as soon as you get in there because you're a gamer and you expect that. And it's a completely different game style. That's
I
all.
Think your game is easy and you make a lot of money and you appeal to everybody, or your game is hard and people like to watch. Basketball is hard to play at a professional level. Football is really hard. You sit down and you're in awe at watching these people
not
perform.
Not really, dude. I mean, you know how, you know the rules of the game.
What are yeah, the top that's the thing. What are the top esports games right now? Dota 2, extremely hard to get into.
But a huge player base.
Okay. What else, though?
Counter-Strike.
Huge player base.
Super hard game.
No.
Super hard game.
It has nothing to do with the difficulty. It has to do with the fucking install base.
Because you want a game that's easy to learn, you guys say that Dota 2 and master.
Yeah, I agree with you, Bobby.
But Dota 2 and Counter-Strike are both very difficult games, yes? And those are the top two games.
It's the ones
you want to get into I don't think that's the reason they're the top two games.
Yeah,
Dota 2 was like one of the first big MOBA, and like everybody started playing that, and everyone stuck on that because that's what they've invested most of their time into. Then other games started coming out, and you know, League has its own following as well. But like, it's a saturated market. You aren't going to get people crossing over.
Yeah.
But if you want to say that a game has to be super hard and complex to make a good e-sport, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's plenty of games. You know, video games and real games that are not difficult or complex but enjoyable
least,
to watch.
Can we agree that you need to at least have depth?
Yeah, you do. Okay. You do. But I don't think any of these games, and I don't think popular
Overwatch
games are.
You could make the argument in the complete other direction. Look at Rocket League. Simple game. Anyone who doesn't play that game.
Not crushing it on esports. Very fun. It sells because you have three-man teams.
I know what you
just want a game that's fun to watch.
Yeah, but I understand what Emil is saying. He's saying you want to be able to watch a game where the skill of elite players can be demonstrated. And if a game is not complex enough, the skill of elite players won't be demonstrated. And therefore, why am I watching elite players when I could just play the game myself and have the same skill? I understand what you're saying. But the most important thing, I think, for an esport is to have a big enough install base that your players want to watch the games for professionals. Because, like, HOTS... Right now, at least before 2.0, I don't know how it is now, it was like third or fourth on the MOBA list of people playing the game. So, of course, it's not going to be that big on an eSport. They just don't have the install base right now, you know? And the question is...
I disagree. I think it's like, I can do that. You see somebody do it, and you're like, I can do it. Even if they can't. There's intricacies going on.
Yeah, but any team but sport, there's going to add a complexity between it.
Right, but you need to be... You need to be shocked and awe. You need to see Kobe Bryant. You need to see fucking Jordan. Okay. And you're like, how did he flew through the air?
I understand.
And then I'm watching Rocket League is kind of like that happens. You're like, how did he do that? But in these other games, you're like, in Overwatch, I've done everything that they've done. It just happens way more infrequently. In HOTS, I can do everything.
Yeah, but then
I see the same thing. It doesn't seem all that complex, even though it is. You know what I'm saying?
But like, same with there's no shock and awe. Same with Counter Strike. Where's the shock and awe in Counter Strike?
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty straightforward.
Please,
I'm
really.
Where is
okay,
it?
Okay, you didn't die. First of all, you didn't die right away.
The headshots,
which
from
is
like,
90% of us, die instantly.
Yeah, like the double headshots.
But that's what I'm saying. Like Overwatch has the same thing.
So in Overwatch,
I'm going to just say this: you need room for greatness.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Accessible games don't have room for greatness.
Okay, well, look at Dota 2. How many people look at Dota 2 and they don't understand a thing that's going on, too? Like,
yeah.
How about that? Like, even me, as someone who plays a lot of MOBAs, you know, one in particular, but I look at Dota 2 and I can't understand a skillful play from, I mean, I can to a certain degree, but like, I can't recognize super high skill in that game.
But, and that's what I go back to. Like, if you don't have the players playing, they won't even know when a good play happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, like, the first
player,
and more,
the
foremost
player base
is
like
the play
your market for the actual eSport as well. So if you have a lot of people playing the game, a lot of people are going to watch the eSport.
Shall we move
on? That's the smartest shit we ever said.
Yeah.
At least in months.
I'm hard right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have faith in Blizzard. It's like, I don't know. I don't see them making like a huge mistake.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's an area they haven't approached before.
I mean,
nobody's approached it before.
No, League of Legends does, you know, like... HOTS is just starting to get to where League of Legends has been for years. You know what I mean? Like, and League of Legends did a bunch of like failures and restarts and a slow, like Blizzard wants to say, like, I'm the big boy on campus. I'm just going to jump in and be better than all of you guys right off the bat. And I'm worried that they haven't thought about, oh, this is, takes learning. Like, we got to actually put people in place that know what they're doing and, like, hire people and get the,
I think the time
the base.
Is right. I think this whole esports thing is taking off right now, and I think Blizzard's, like, putting the money behind it to make it actually happen.
Well, I hope it is. Like, I love their games.
Okay, but so. I don't think their games are... Right.
Yeah. We got you. We understand what you're saying.
But let me give Chi's opinion real quick. All of this would be great, but some people don't let you play, and so you just sit there and you make lumpia or whatever.
I don't even know what that meant. All right.
I meant spring rolls.
Spring rolls. Lumpia. Yeah. Lumpia.
All right. Are we doing question number two?
Sure.
All right. If you could erase your memory of one game...
No, who sent this one?
Captain Save a Podcast. fuck that guy. All right. If you could erase your memory of one game so you could enjoy it again for the first time, which game would it be?
Only because it's recent on my memory, Mr. Shifty, I would completely play it again. I was just thinking, like, the more I play other games, the more that game gets better. There's no... Think about this, guys. There's no power-ups in the whole game. There's no pickups. There's no coins. There's no secret items. It doesn't matter. The gameplay is that solid that you just play it, you enjoy it every single second all the way through, and you're not looking around every stupid corner. It's an old fucking trope. If it's 2017...
Emil is angry today.
No, yeah. If it's 2017 and you're still picking... You're making a game... where you're still picking up coins like Mario, go fuck yourself. Like, it's such an old trope. Like, get over it. We don't need to pick up shit anymore.
Is this actually... So you're saying Mr. Shifty doesn't do that?
There's nothing. Not one thing.
Okay.
What, so there's not a lot of complexity in this game?
Your abilities in level one...
I got depth. You. So it'd be a great esport, is what he's saying.
Your abilities at level one are the same at the final level. Nothing. There's no progression. Progression is good. You put an armor on, it makes sense, all that stuff.
I think that's just a choice. Like, I think you can go either way on that.
Yeah. I see what
you're
saying, though.
Games do it, and I think it's cool.
But why run around? Why get the...
It's a puzzle game, though. Mr. Shifty's a puzzle game, and the complexity is done from the increased complexity of the puzzles. And the enemies coming at you are the puzzles,
right? I guess,
right?
But it's a Twitch puzzle.
Yeah, yeah.
But what worked for you...
I applaud your choice. Yeah. That's a good one. All right. We're not disagreeing with you. We just need you to calm the fuck down. Who fed that guy fucking tequila? I specifically gave him whiskey.
I think it was the meth that you put in my tequila.
Yeah. All right, Bobby, you got an answer for us?
Can I just pick a game that I would like to forget and not play again?
Wow.
I'm sure there's a couple of those.
Mr. Shifty.
No, I haven't played that game yet, actually. I do want to. A game that I could... have a fresh new experience with all over again. Maybe Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
I think that would be a good one. But then you get into the whole sequel thing. Like, do you forget the Bioshock 1, or are you going into it before that? I don't know. Maybe the Bioshock series.
Wait, so you didn't enjoy that game?
No, I did enjoy that. No, I'm saying that in answer to the
question.
Oh,
you would like to enjoy it again.
Yeah, I'd like to play it again, just... completely fresh, because that's a game that I beat and I was like, I'll play this game again at some point. This is a good solid first person shooter.
Nope.
As they're called. As they are defined. And I would like to play this game again, but then every time I've gone back to it, and the idea was to do it in what they call 1999 mode, where it's a lot harder. That's an actual mode in the game. I'm not just making that up. But every time I've gone back to it, I've just been like 10 minutes into it. And I'm like, I see where it's going. I remember all this. And I think that'd be a good one to forget and play.
Extremely low on combat and a lot of, you know, it's very narrative centric and there's not a whole lot
combat's
of combat.
Yeah. Spread out.
Yeah.
So my answer would be, I would also need to go back in time, but I would love to do the vanilla WoW experience. Back when vanilla WoW was the only WoW. No, it was WoW.
Too much, man. You'd be good.
Some of my most fun gaming was back in vanilla WoW.
I enjoyed EverQuest so much more. Beginning EverQuest was so much more.
But forgetting
about
an MMO, I mean, you know, that's like, you know, forgetting
time rich.
That's like saying I want to get high like I used to the first time I ever did crystal meth.
Like, we always say that, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I know.
That's a common.
Jim's point something out here. He says that's a pretty meta answer. Wasn't that the story of Bioshock Infinite was about forgetting and repeating? And that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look at that.
So you wanted to get so in think, there.
Whoa, man. What just happened, man?
All right. Next question.
Next question.
Do you want to answer that for Chi also, by the way, Amelia?
No, I don't have something prepared.
Oh, that would be Counter-Strike all over again.
Yeah.
All right. Next down.
Let's see. Warconius is suggesting DLG Con, an annual gathering of those that love the PC gaming and DLG.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you
don't read it all. I think I really like this.
Okay. A group of united yet diverse DLG followers converge on sunny San Diego to discuss important topics such as roguelike or roguelite, best PC games for side boob, get drunk, stage interventions for Binding of Isaac and HOTS, addictions, get drunk, compete in a mini international, and many more amazing activities. DLG Con, another con no one asked for, but damn it, we are getting drunk.
I like it. Everything about that, I like it.
I like it all.
Yeah.
It'd have to be pretty small.
Yeah.
Because, no, you know, flying out to come meet superstars, it's not something that
it's
people
amazing.
Do on the reg. But
we have,
maybe we'll take a poll, and then, like, if we hit enough people.
A solid dozen,
I think, would be enough. Yeah, no,
well, we have talked about trying to host a TI, like, and so maybe.
Yeah, but.
Potentially like, doing that.
That's not a con.
No.
Yeah.
What would a con be? You walk around Bobby's apartment saying, and this is where the magic happens.
This is the actual microphone.
Now, if we had a studio,
this
$1
been,
a month. No.
This has only been up Emil's ass once or twice. Stop doing that.
Yeah. No, a meetup would be cool. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Super cool.
And we're always down to meet people. If you guys are in San Diego, we're not flying to you, but if you want to. Are you, if you're in San Diego, let us
and you
know.
You know what? We can get Cheese Bar for free.
Yeah.
As a meetup spot.
That's location number two where mm-hmm. the convention's at.
Yep.
The getting drunk part.
Thank you, Warconius. We're working on that, man.
Yeah.
All right. Last question going to Chad. This is from Zap. I think you liked Mass Effect Andromeda. Thoughts on it being put on ice for now?
Yeah, so apparently they kind of have repurposed the studio and have...
No. Montreal's
well, they've,
gone, I
they've
believe.
Moved some people around and fired other people.
But Montreal is
yeah,
gone.
Yeah.
Effectively.
And basically they've said they don't have a timetable on when they're doing another Mass Effect game. This is supposed to be the start of another trilogy, Andromeda was.
Yeah.
So they don't... Obviously Mass Effect's not gone. It's one of their biggest money makers. And anytime they get a little bit cash poor, I'm sure they're going to pull it out again. I mean,
I never expected Mass Effect Andromeda. Like after Mass Effect 3, I was just like, okay, that was the series. Good job. And then Andromeda came out of nowhere. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I got to do something else on the franchise to make some money. But you know, I don't know. I'm not surprised.
I think, yeah.
How about you play the game before you start talking about it?
I'm just saying, dude. Hey, it's
when you
people have done nothing but
like
shit
that.
On that game.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's not a bad game. And it obviously made money. This could be like one of the only times that a studio made a blockbuster and then gets fucking closed down.
Well,
just
I'm just
from
saying, it can
so
only go downhill from here. The first trilogy, I liked it. I totally enjoyed that experience, but I felt like the Andromeda was a little unnecessary, which is why I didn't pick it up or play it. And just to make more games after that, I mean, do we need that?
Wrong. So
he's a feisty today.
No, so yeah, their first outing for Andromeda is complete shit. But if the
it wasn't complete shit.
You're right. I'm sorry.
Yes, thank you.
It wasn't what everybody yeah. wanted it to be.
And they
but
look like
if the major
drunken
studio
sailors.
Takes over the second one and does a stellar job. Stellar, see how,
yeah.
what I did there? It could save the Andromeda series completely. The setting, like I said in my review, I thought the setting for Andromeda was fantastic. I it's like Mass Effect, but somewhere completely removed, and there's so much wiggle room there. Chad, you played it all the way through, so I don't know.
Yep.
Do you think there's plenty of room for other stories within this space that they created?
Yeah, they kind of put it. They did the Mass Effect thing where you got an ending, but it didn't solve all the world's problems. There's right. still a
there's a plenty of stuff
going
to do.
On. Going, yeah,
it's a rich world. Wouldn't
yeah,
you say?
Yeah, I mean,
and so
for sure.
somebody could take this rich world and do something good with it, especially the main studio. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think
I love you, Bobby. I don't mean to say that you're wrong all the time.
No, it's okay to have your opinion on that, but I'm just saying we are.
You're wrong,
but you're wrong.
I think we're at a situation here with that movies are at as well. Like everything's a sequel, everything's just a remake, everything's a reiteration. There's just, especially when it comes to AAA and big budget, there's just not a lot of innovation.
It has to be like that, though. They're so expensive because, to make these that
yeah, they can't take a risk.
Successful.
I mean, it has to be an IP that people will buy just on title alone, and I get that. But it's not going to be the end of the world. Look at BioShock. Did its thing, peaced out. Great job.
It's not done. You're going to get another BioShock.
But it's not going to be a Ken Levine BioShock, and then that's not going to be a real BioShock.
Yeah. I'm a little sad that Mass Effect is being put on ice for now because, you know, I really do enjoy it. And I, you know, Andromeda is one of those games that as soon as I started playing it, I was hooked until I finished it. But
not after that it was bad. I just
after that poor showing, it, you know, let's circle back around in a couple years and, you know, maybe we'll get some better people to work on it. So that's all. Because you guys were shit last time.
Yeah. Oh, and there was some, like, footage of early alpha, and it looked better than...
Really?
Well, it wasn't polished, but you could see that the foundation was better. So something completely terrible happened in between A and B. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Maybe they'll make a movie about it someday because something like it, fucking happened.
Yeah.
But get Vice on it, will you?
Yeah, give
him on the call. All right. Should we do Bobby Gets Hard?
Yeah. Where?
Thank you.
Almost fucked it up.
Oh,
all right. So Tech Knight recommended this. NVIDIA's new Volta GPU. So this is a new architecture coming out that's going to replace Pascal. I think it's Pascal. Pascal.
If you're talking math, it's Pascal.
Yeah. So it's always confusing to me because I had a teacher in like sixth or seventh grade who was Pascal. So I always saw that and I was like, oh, Pascal. And then years later I realized, oh, Pascal. So I never know what it is. Anyway, so the new GPU architecture is coming out. Lottie freaking da. It's going to be bigger, faster, better than the previous one. We're all excited about that. The bad news is it's not going to be out till, I mean, realistically, I don't think we're going to see a new gaming card that uses this for about a year. Isn't that how it usually is when they announce something like this? We don't see it in a card till, I shouldn't say in a card, but I should say like a flagship card, like a big beefy, like this is going to run my...
There's no reason for them to put this out, even if they...
Well, why even announce
it? They're already...
If they're not putting it out.
I don't know.
Generate interest in their company
or
bad for AMD.
Yeah, or why buy a 1080 when this thing's coming out?
No, they always do this. They always announce this stuff like way ahead, and they have, you know, they have like working copies of it that they've tested on, or they have like all the pictures of the diagrams. From what it looks like, this is a huge card, like giant. It's going to be big if they don't slim it down. Like just the circuit board alone is bigger than normal cards. But they said he made an interesting point in this article. Let me pull it up here. This is from PC World talking about this, but they said they've reached the limit of, let's see, where is it?
Wally's looking for it.
We need to find the path forward for life after Moore's Law.
Yeah.
As in, we aren't going to double this year, is what that sounds like to me.
So Moore's Law, for those that don't know, basically says you can run out of computing power, right? You hit an upper limit on how fast computers can go.
Moore's Law is that transistor, your computing power is going to double every 2 years.
Yeah, it's like exponential.
Yeah,
exponential.
Okay.
But they don't put
But Moore's Law, I thought Moore's Law had a cap.
I mean, it might be the singularity, but...
Yeah. Okay, he says he's at the limits of photolithography, which... That's how they print stuff to the board, I believe.
Oh, okay.
But it's always this case, isn't there? Always running into just dead ends with this. But I don't know. This is, it's so hard to buy a graphics card because there's always something better right around the corner. So I don't know. I wouldn't let this affect your purchases right away. But it is exciting to know that NVIDIA is working on something that's going to be bigger and better. And it just seems like they're constantly one step ahead of AMD, because AMD just had some announcements regarding the Vega, regarding Ryzen. You know, they're working on some stuff. But again, here's NVIDIA with something looking bigger and better.
I read the article on PC World, and it literally sounded like Star Trek to me. Like,
it's hard to follow.
Like, they're talking about stuff that is just so
beyond. And
you're
in the biz, kind of.
Yeah. You know?
Not just the hardware side,
but it's just crazy what these GPU companies are doing. It's insane.
I never really thought about this until now for some reason, but as far as transistors and, like, stuff goes, because that's all I know how to say, isn't there more going on in our GPUs than there are in our motherboards? Aren't there more transistors and more shit by far going on?
Well, your CPU is just, a small little thing versus your GPU.
I know. I'm just talking about physical size, though. Like, you got this thing versus this other thing.
The motherboard just provides the connection to all the parts.
Yeah,
the computer,
it's just like
really.
Kind of like a hub, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's more stuff going on, but yeah. But yeah, speaking of upgrading graphics cards, Emilio, I know you're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
The time is right since your new monitor came in.
Fuck yeah, finally. So I did an unboxing. I don't know when that's going to be up. Bobby needs to freshen it up and make my belly smaller for that.
Good luck.
Yeah. You're going to need a 2.0.
Photoshop up the 2.0. Shit on this.
Yeah. But anyway, so let's see how this all started. I went on.
You already explained this last week, so you don't need to go into the full deets.
Yeah, but I went into Discord and I was like, hey, guys, I want to spend this much. And I want this, this, and this. And it was ultra-wide, high refresh rate for $800. And they're like, no, it's not going
to
happen.
What refresh rate are you running it at? Because it can be overclocked to 100, right?
Yeah. And I'm already doing that. I'll get into the nitty-gritty later. But what I'm talking about now is just like what made me spend $1,000 on a card. So I was like, I want to spend about $800. Not a card, but a monitor. And everybody was like, no, you're not going to get all those things. And then Jiffy and a couple other people have already purchased a monitor. And this is the Acer Predator X34. And it seems to be one of, if not the top, I mean, it's in the top two from everything that I can see as far as monitors go. I watched Linus, who I'm liking more and more. Bobby, that's one of the guys you watch, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Linus Tech Tips.
Yeah, Linus Tech Tips. He's pretty concise and he covers everything. And he says that every 2 weeks he says the new shit is the best shit, but this one is the shit. Like he said that he wasn't surprised that this came along because he just took all the best shit from all these different monitors and put it in one. And I couldn't agree more. Let's get into it though. It's a 35-inch ultra wide monitor. Ultra wide being
34 inches.
34.
Adding an extra inch like usual to your measurements.
34 by 4, 3440 by 1440. So the 1440 doesn't change. So it kind of looks like a movie screen. It's really long. It's slightly curved on the edges. I have not made a jump like this in graphical power. It's not graphical power. In just pure enjoyment of what I'm seeing, eye candy, eye porn. I haven't made a jump like this. Like going from whatever I had before my 970, I forgot what I had. It was another GTX, but I forgot what it was. It was like a 6 something.
760 maybe?
Yeah, probably 760. That sounds about right. And making a jump to the 9, I remember being underwhelmed. And I was like, what did I pay all this money for? Blah, blah, blah. And I was just, I had like some buyer's remorse. The amount, the visual splendor that this thing has is ridiculous compared to what I had. Now, going back to that was a a 34-inch Samsung TV, which was 1080. And that's why I bought it. I was like, ooh, 1080, let me go get it. Refresh rate was 60 hertz, you know, all of that. It seems, guys, I'm not putting any hyperbole. I'm not a hyperbole-er.
Callback.
It looks like I got a new graphics card. That's how much better my games look. I don't know what the laws or the math behind all of that is, but it looks so much more fantastic. Just the clarity of everything. The ultra wide, honestly, I can kind of take or leave right now. It's nice. It's definitely nice because it's more immersive.
Have you tried movies on there?
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm kind of curious because it's letterbox size, right? So theoretically, you can watch a letterbox movie without the letterbox.
Without the black or top. Yeah. Top or bottom black screen. But crispness, depth, color, everything's fucking fantastic. The ultra wide comes into effect for immersiveness. So depending how far or close you put this thing to your face, the more of your visual space it takes up, including your periphery for the first time ever. Like, you can, like, I came over and I was looking at Bobby, and I'm not talking shit just because I finally bought something better than Bobby, but I was looking at the size of the screen and I'm still watching him play, and I'm like, wow, I can never go back to that. This is completely.
And his is the wide ones, right? Yours is 16 by 9?
Yeah, 16 by 9.
Yeah, okay.
It's the best on the market for a reason. I'm completely in love with everything about it except for the controls that are underneath the right side. They feel clunky and they're not intuitive at all. I didn't like it at all. As far as the construction and the buyer's experience, user experience, the whole thing feels like it's one solid piece of metal. You can easily adjust the height and the tilt. You don't even have to pull a lever. You don't have to do anything. You literally just grab the screen and just move it how you want it at that second. Hey, there's glare coming off the top from the middle of my screen right now. I don't want that. From my light in the middle of my room. I'm just going to tilt it down. It takes me less than a second. It feels solid. I can't recommend it more. I didn't know. When I was kind of like reluctant. Okay, $1,000. Boom, there it is. Buyer's remorse. Two, three days. I don't got it. First day I'm playing it, it's kind of weird. And then I started playing PUBG. And then I started playing Prey. And even Binding of Isaac. Yes, Bobby, you made a joke. It looks so much better. It's just rich and crisp.
It's that IPS. It makes such a big difference.
And not just that, but instead, there's a small room is like just a 4x4 square, let's say, and the other ones are like 4x8. I can see the whole 8 square room without traversing, so I know what's ahead of me. Mm-hmm. It made Binding of Isaac better.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you using the speakers on this?
I am, but not primarily. Like, until I'm going to play online, I'll put my headphones on. The speakers definitely don't. It's not the selling point here.
I don't know why they put speakers on these. Mine have speakers as well, and occasionally, by accident, it'll be set to those speakers, yeah, and some audio will come out. And then
just porn
like
just
garbage.
Starts blaring.
Yeah, you kind of just have to. I mean, you can't sell something without speakers, right?
I don't know. A lot of times, they'll sell some really high-end equipment, and they'll be like, well, dude, if you're spending $1,000 on a monitor, you're probably spending a little bit of money on your sound as well. So,
yeah.
Joke's on you. He got his fucking headset free.
Yeah, that's true. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's got like lights that light up your keyboard, and like you can set them to strobe and all that. So it's just like bells and whistles.
But the really, hub on the back, I'm assuming.
This thing's a fucking beast. It's so good.
So, is this the best $1,000 you've spent?
Yeah, probably. On my computer, yeah.
I don't think I could fit.
You could fit that.
I don't think so.
You would need a side table for your second monitor, though.
Yeah. But that's the other thing. Oh, one more thing I didn't mention. Doing work. Like today I was working on the podcast, so I had four windows open. It's so crisp and so clear. You can just easily. It's better than having that second screen. If if my options were like a second screen and something close to this, I would definitely just take this because you can work almost as easily just having this.
Yeah, but if you're playing a game and then you want something up in a second screen, sure. It gets a little more complicated.
Yeah, my second screen is just a Discord screen.
That point. Would be cool though if you could set it to just 21:9. And then the extra space would be as a second screen. You could use a second screen, make it as a first and second screen.
Yeah, I think you can, but I'm not sure.
That would be cool.
Can't recommend it enough. I know it's a ton of money, guys, but if you play games every day, spend the money. My frames are between. I have a 970. My frames are between 50 and 60 on most games. Including online games and whatever. So it's playable. It's just not ideal. I would have upgraded already, but 1080 Ti's are sold out everywhere, at least the EVGA for the Win edition. So, yeah, there's that. There are some that are out there. I know somebody sent me some links, but they're like over $150 more than the Amazon Prime. So I'd rather just wait for the Amazon Prime.
So have you ordered it and now it's just in back stock?
That's going to be my move. I need to pay. So I got the Amazon credit card, $5% back on everything you buy. I need to pay that off, which I can't. I could just do it. I just literally haven't got the physical card, so I don't have a card number. I can't pay it off until I have a card number. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then I'll buy. Yes, I'm going to preemptively buy it on Prime.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. So no news. I think that's a wrap. What's everybody looking at for next week?
There should have been news. I just completely forgot to look it up.
Nope, nothing happened at all news-wise.
Yep.
In gaming.
Crazy.
If we aren't covering
crazy
it,
how it do
didn't
that.
Happen. But next week I'm going to try to finish Prey. I really want to finish that game.
Whoa. You mentioned Quadrilateral Cowboy last week.
My birthday present, jackass.
I was really curious to know what was going on.
No, I haven't had a chance to get into it any further. So I will probably talk about that next week. This week was incredibly busy. I didn't even have a chance to change the stuff on iTunes. Granted, the picture didn't come to me until late, and when I got it, it wasn't the right resolution, so that was a bit
clown lotion. That's you, buddy.
Let's not shift the blame.
Step
like
it
I'm
up.
Doing.
Step it up.
The blame can only be shifted once.
Oh,
but
shit.
So that's in the mix. I'll probably be checking that out too. Been sprinkling in a little pit people here and there. As much as I like Prey, it's not a game I can play between rounds of Heroes of the Storm. Like I have to commit to that game. I mean, same thing with Quadrilateral Cowboy. I don't know why I have such a hard time pronouncing that.
That's a hard word, Quadrilateral.
That's a game that you have to sit down and play. You can't just be like, you know, it's not a Stardew Valley game.
Fair enough.
All right, what about you guys?
I don't know. Because I was staying away for graphical games until I got my monitor.
So, we've been playing some Smite. Have you played it with the new monitor?
Yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, everything's fantastic. I haven't had any issues about things not complying with the... Everything seems to work so far.
Okay.
What's funny about Smite is, like, you know, most games you gain an advantage, but there's walls on either side of you. So you're just seeing more walls, but it looks fantastic. I'm just saying...
I'm guessing it looks fantastic.
I'll just go back to it again one more time. I don't play, like, RTSs because they're not immersive. Like, I don't like the top-down perspective. It's not my thing. I like to be in the game, and this monitor makes me feel more in the game than anything else. So
yeah, but HOT supports super widescreen.
What's super wide?
Like
tactical
what you have.
Advantage.
Oh.
There's a advantage and a disadvantage to that. The advantage is you can see more. The disadvantage is you have to move your mouse further.
That's true, Jens.
Jens, you fucking nailed it, dude. I'm a piece of shit.
He
said, don't play top down, 500 hours in Binding of Isaac.
No,
that would be accurate if there's a, it's a, probably closer to 1,000.
Yeah.
Actually.
No, he doesn't like playing games where you have to click shit, and Binding of Isaac is what WASD controls still.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the difference. You don't care about top down, you just don't want WASD controls.
No, I like immersive games. Like that's why I like Smite over the other ones.
No, it's because of WASD.
Oh, that's true too.
Yeah. I'm right, you're wrong.
It is true.
As far as I am concerned, I'm going to be playing Injustice 2 because that's coming out, but that's not going to be for PC, so you don't get to hear about it. yeah.
What a fucking dick.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm playing.
Dicked us down.
I don't. I'm kind of in like this weird mode where I don't really know what to play. I'll come home. I'll boot up Steam. I'll boot up Origin. I end up just shutting it all down and watching Dota 2 VODs right now. I don't know why. I'm just not. I haven't been really on the.
Maybe some people can get some recommendations.
Yeah, hit me up with something.
Chances are it's in my library.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't have your library, so I'm going to need that.
Oh, okay. But, yeah. We'll do Team Viewer and all.
Yeah, yeah. Please do.
Yeah, because Bobby won't give us his password.
To my Steam account, probably.
Yeah, I'm not asking for his password.
I could buy a Overwatch island. Franchise.
He could buy and sell you four times over. Anyways, let's finish this bitch up.
Yeah. So, speaking for Bobby, Chad, and myself, 1440 by 1440. Oh, shit, I'm all fucked up. But titties, everyone. All right, bye, guys.